What's up, guys? This is the first recap from the Behind the Smoke podcast with Curtis Jackson. We just recently recorded with Curtis Jackson, and I was very stoked to be able to bring him on the show because it was the first episode on Barbecue War Stories where I got to actually book the guest who was my contact and who was actually someone that I knew. And that was really cool because Curtis was my old volleyball coach when I was 16 years old. I was playing on a 17-year-old travel club volleyball team, and we played a bunch of tournaments and we competed. We went to Junior Olympics. We traveled to play these tournaments, and it was a blast. Curtis was a very badass coach. He was, you know, pretty young, so he could really kind of understand where we're coming from as you know, little bastard teenagers, 16 years old. You know, you can only imagine the shit that Curtis had to put up with when coaching our team. And I remember he was a hard ass, but he believed in us and he always pushed us as much as we could go. And that was so cool. And I've always looked up to Curtis. I've always respected him. And now, shit, 9 years later, I consider us friends. And we still keep in touch here and there. But yeah, Curtis is the man. He's a father of two younger sons. He's married to his wife, Crystal, who is his business partner over at Jackson Strength, which is a gym in Solana Beach, and they run that business now in Montana. They live in Montana and they run their business in San Diego. That's fucking incredible. I can't imagine how he's been able to do that, and Crystal as a team. You know, I know that they've been able to build a great team so they can rely on them while they're not there at the gym looking over things. And that's given Curtis, you know, some more time to work on other entrepreneurial ventures. And he talked about those in our podcast, in the Behind the Smoke podcast. One of the cool things Curtis is doing is he's starting up his own podcast called Raising Fathers. I think he just made a Facebook page for it. I'm sure he'll make an Instagram and all that fun stuff. And I'm stoked. I'm stoked to see and listen to Curtis. I really look up to him and all the things that he has to say. You know, he's looking to provide a service for other fathers, other mothers, you know, any parents who are looking for some advice on how to help raise their kids. You know, he primarily focuses on athletes, boys, baseball players, volleyball players. That's really his niche. But I think a lot of what Curtis says and a lot of what Curtis does can be looked at from any perspective. And I really like that about him. What was cool was we talked about hunting in our podcast with him. Curtis is an avid hunter, and it's incredible. I didn't think I would ever appreciate hunting like I do now. You know, I'm watching all these hunting things. I'm following hunters now on Instagram, and I'm very curious about it because Curtis really broke it down in a cool way where you're hunting for the animal and you feel so bad about killing the animal, but you know that that's just how life is and that's how it was back way back when. And that's just in our DNA to hunt and to be able to provide for your family. That's how it used to be. We didn't have these fucking McDonald's and Starbucks and everything available to us at any time. Now we have Uber Eats. We get the shit delivered to us. That's not how it used to be. And to kind of look back in the old age and apply it to hunting and think about why you hunt. And I think Curtis was able to provide a really good insight to hunters and dispel any myths about those hunters, you know, the 5% of the hunters who just want to kill and they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. But, you know, hunting gets a bad rap, but hunting is great. There's a lot of species out there that need to be regulated, as Curtis talked about. And Curtis was so rad to, he actually shipped venison from Montana. He shipped venison to Valley Farm Market, where Derek was able to put it in the smoker and prepare it for our podcast, which was the first time that I've ever ate game. So venison, and it was delicious. I was a little bit nervous because I've always been picky, but I'm growing out of it slowly but surely. But I said, fuck it. I would love to try it. I appreciate Curtis and the hard work that went in to how he killed the animal, to how he stored it, to how he, you know, shared it with his sons and the whole process of getting it, then to ship it, and then to provide that food for an actual meal. I was so grateful for that as well. Curtis is also doing a little experimenting on himself. He is doing the carnivore diet where, yeah, he basically just eats meat, a shit ton of meat. And I want to say he's probably on like day 28 if he's still doing it. I know at day 25 he still was, so provided he's still doing it, he's almost on day 30 by now. And I highly recommend you looking into the carnivore diet if it's interesting. And, you know, hit Curtis up if you have any questions about it. He said that his inflammation has never been so good. He's never felt so good. So it was really interesting because, you know, in San Diego, it's a huge vegan era where everyone's straying away from eating meat with all these documentaries coming out and all these different things. It was really cool to hear the other side of that where it's just straight fucking meat. And, you know, Curtis says a lot of things on his Facebook. What's been cool about Curtis on his Facebook is he has chosen that as a channel to connect with, you know, his fans, his family, his friends, and anyone that will listen, because he likes to go on his rants and he has a wealth of information. He's so smart. And it's so cool to see him choose Facebook as that medium to deliver his information, or his rants, as he calls them. But with Facebook going live, it's so, so powerful. I mean, if you're just an individual or if you're a business, utilize Facebook Live to reach as many people as you can, because Facebook, its algorithm, hashtag algorithm, Facebook's algorithm, it prioritizes live video on Facebook more than any other post. That means if you go live on Facebook, you have a high percentage that the most amount of people could possibly see that. Things that won't be seen as much are like a simple text post. If you just write a status, you know, or if you just put a link or a photo or just a regular video. Now, don't get me wrong. If you can't do a Facebook Live, do a video. Your next second best option is just a regular video. You take a video and then you upload it to Facebook. That's still great because it is still prioritized, because everybody knows when you go on Facebook and you're scrolling on your newsfeed, what do you see? A video. You see a shit ton of videos and boom, it kind of makes sense now. Facebook is prioritizing video first. In March of 2016, Facebook came out and said, Facebook is more likely to rank Facebook Live videos higher in the newsfeed when those videos are live than when they are no longer live. Facebook found that people spend more than three times more. People spend more than three times more time watching a Facebook Live video on average compared to a video that's no longer live. Well, that's because those videos are more interesting when the event is being filmed, is happening live, than it is after, because people want to tune in and be like, oh man, this is going on right now. I'm tuned in. This is cool. I want to engage. I want to comment. I want to interact. And so Facebook, you know, just providing those cool statistics. And for Curtis, I think he's really found a nice little sweet spot for him. You know, there's no cost, knock on wood, for now. There's Facebook isn't charging to publish or go live. So Curtis has been doing these Facebook Live videos. His first one was about 8 months ago, and he's been doing them fairly consistently for the last 8 months. I'd say he's probably done maybe 16, at, you know, 8 to 16 live videos since he started. And I've loaded up a couple of these so that you can hear what he has to say, and I think they're great. So this first one I'm going to play, and I'm sorry if it's bad audio. I'm literally just playing it from my laptop over to this blue snowball mic. So we'll see how it sounds on the other end. But here is Curtis talking about sleep deprivation. And, you know, as he is a nutrition expert, fitness expert, health expert, he gets asked all the time on what's the best way to have more energy. And so Curtis here, when I play this video, will tell everyone listening how to have more energy. And that's sleep. Sleep. There is no substitute for sleep. Here you go.
Get to there. So I just want to shoot a quick Facebook Live for everybody, because the basics tend to get overlooked a lot in the nutrition, health, fitness industry. If you're not recovering, if you feel tired, if you feel like shit, you're not motivated, well, just try sleeping more. give it a shot. Now, I don't tell people to sleep 8 hours a night. I tell them to sleep 56 hours a week, because we all have life that gets in the way. There's parties, there's stuff going on, there's early wake ups. So instead of trying to aim for 8 hours a night, aim for 56 hours a week. It's just like debt. Okay. What's up, Isaac? Good to see you, buddy. Get your sleep. All right. Listen in. So if you're not getting, let's say you have one night of 6 hours of sleep, well, you owe yourself a 10 hour night to balance that out. That's just kind of how it is. So you need to make up, a lot of people call it sleep debt. You know, when you only have 4 hours of sleep a night, you just withdrew 4 hours from your account. And you got to put that 4 hours back in. So think of sleep in that way as like a bank account, that when you take it out, you got to put it back in. All right. So go ahead, work on that concept, get 56 hours of sleep per week, start trying to get that 8 hours. And then if you're still not having enough energy, then you can start to look at other things. But please, people, do not make this too complicated. There's a lot of dipshits out there that are making things too complicated, that you got to have blood tests and you got to have this and that supplement. Sleep is free. Sleep is a choice. All right. And it's one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, keys to health, vitality, and well-being. All right.
Sleep. Did you hear that? It's free. So aim to get 8 hours of sleep every night, about 56 a week. So I know personally, I've never been one that needs sleep. I went through college. I stayed up partying, or I stayed up studying, working on projects with my marketing groups. I think over time I tricked my body into thinking that it could run without sleep. And I wouldn't say I was an insomniac, but I just kind of learned how to get through the next day after not sleeping 8 hours the night before, or, you know, more than that. But now I have been sleeping and prioritizing sleep, and I've never felt better. You know, I feel healthier. I feel sharper. I can podcast. Like the extra energy that I have to do a podcast when I'm not getting paid for this, you know, I have a million other things that are priority before this podcast. But I think with sleep, personally, it's really been helping me. So fuck it. Go give it a shot. Make it a point to start sleeping more. If you're not getting around 8 hours every night, give it a shot. So here is another video I want to play from another Facebook Live from Curtis. This is about the red velvet rope policy for life and for business. We didn't get a chance to talk about this policy on the podcast, which was a bummer because it's a really good thing. It's a really good policy that Curtis is going to talk about. So I'll play it here because we didn't get to it on Behind the Smoke podcast, and that's okay. So listen in.
Levels, and he has what's called the red velvet rope policy. And at that same time, I started really firing people from my gym and from my life. I came across this red velvet rope policy. And essentially what the red velvet rope policy is that you have people in your life and your business right now who just check off all the boxes. Every time you see them, they're positive, they're hardworking people, they generally are making good decisions, they're generally trying to be a great human being. In the gym setting for us, it's the kids that show up and they're respectful, they're hardworking, they're getting their homework done, they're doing their grades, they're not causing trouble outside of the gym. These are the red velvet rope people that are just amazing. These are the people you want to surround yourself with all the time. These are people that make you a better person. Then you've got the middle range. These are the people that show glimpses of being red velvet rope policy, but aren't necessarily red velvet rope people at the current moment. And you're currently could be just one conversation away from explaining to them what you consider to be a red velvet rope policy and what you consider to be a red velvet rope person. And these are people that have the potential to move into this red velvet rope category and just become awesome and become great people in your life that just, you know, make every day of yours better and better and better the more time you spend with them. And then you've got the bottom of the barrel. You know, that's the third level. The people that you know right now have zero chance of becoming a red velvet rope people. And those are the people that I started firing. The people that I was like, for whatever reason, not because they're bad people, we're just not a good fit. You're not a good fit for my life. I don't feel like you're a positive contribution to my life. And so I started getting rid of them in business and in life. And even today, I just kind of have a no asshole policy. And we talk, I'll be fully honest, when I talk with my trainers, we always look at it from a, is there any, when we meet every single week as a group, I ask them, is there anybody currently that when they walk into our gym, you mutter, oh, fuck, under your breath. And that's how we know we've got to have a talk with somebody or potentially we've got to get rid of that person out of our gym. And our gym is just like anybody else's environment in life. If you've got a person, when you see the text message, when you see the email, when you see him in person, you mutter, oh, fuck, under your breath. You know that you've got to have a conversation and you've got to do some firing. So I implore all of you to take the red velvet rope policy to your business, to your life. Now, it's not easy to fire business clients. It's not easy to say no to money. It's hard to say no to money. But trust me, if I can fire people that want to pay me, you can fire people that currently are not paying you. In fact, they're subtracting from your life force. They're subtracting from your energy of life. So I know this probably does not have much to do. This did not really dip into the, you know, much scientific nutrition, fitness, anything like this. But I think that a negative person is a negative stressor in your life. Okay, so you've got to look at your total inventory of negative stressors in your life. Shit food is a negative stressor. Lack of exercise, negative stressor. Lack of clean water, negative stressor. Lack of sleep, negative stressor. Shit people, negative stressor. Let me reinforce this as much as possible. Doesn't matter if they're family, they're negative stressors. You got to take care of it. And sometimes, in like the worst case scenarios, you got to fire family. you know? All right, that's it. That's my soapbox. That's
wow. Powerful words, and they ring true. It's so important to be surrounded by positive people. And, you know, there's a quote that you are the sum of the five people you are surrounded with on a daily basis or something like that. But it really speaks to me because I think one of the major changes in my life going from college to, you know, present day now, I'm surrounded by business owners. I'm surrounded by people older than me. I'm surrounded by people who have a lot more money than me. I'm surrounded by positive people for the most part. There are a few people who I could, you know, kick out, but it's been something I'm proactively doing and I have done. And it's sometimes it's so fucking hard to get someone out of your life or to not text them back or to say no to their invite to their party. It sucks saying no, and it sucks losing friends, but you have to make sure that you're doing it in the best interest of yourself. And you always want to be surrounded by people who are going to bring you up and by people who also believe in you. And I think that's kind of what Curtis was talking about. I really like that red velvet rope policy. Another cool thing, thank you, Curtis. He always recommends books in his Facebook Lives. And he recommended this book called The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts. Who doesn't want love that lasts? I mean, come on. No, but, you know, me and Alana, we're always trying to work to be better, to love each other more. We're always working on ourselves and on each other, our relationship. And so, you know, I'm always looking for new ways so that we can, you know, be a better couple, be a better team, stay on the same page, you know, all those things that are so necessary for couples to focus on. And I've been reading this book. I'm not done yet, so I can't give you my recap, but I'm a few chapters in, and it's not a long book. It's a pretty easy and good read. Like I said, it's so hard to find the goddamn time to read, but it's a really awesome book. I can't wait to finish it. Basically talks about getting to know your partner and the type of language of love that they speak. So I'll read the back a little bit. Between busy schedules and long days, expressing love can fall by the wayside. We forget to compliment, to give gifts, just because, to linger in our embrace. The things that say I love you seem either not get said or not get through. This is a book about saying it and hearing it clearly. No gimmicks, no psychoanalyzing, just learning to express love in your spouse's language. So the five love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. So I cannot wait to finish the rest of this book. I'm very interested to find out what Alana's main language of love is. I think I know, but I'll definitely break this down more once I'm finished. I'm really thankful that Curtis recommended this book because I can already think of a few people who I want to pass this book on to next so they can check it out. So there you have it. That is pretty much my recap for Curtis and our Behind the Smoke episode. It was a fantastic podcast. I will be sure to leave the link to the podcast here in case you haven't heard it. I will leave the link to his Instagram. I will leave the link to the book so you can get on that as well. And yeah, I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little weird. I literally just went to the dentist today and getting Invisalign. I got Invisalign, so they put the shit on my teeth and I'm talking funny. I know I sound like an idiot. I hate how I sound. This whole podcasting thing is super weird, but it feels good to do it. So I'll hope you're digging it. Curtis Jackson, Behind the Smoke podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great motherfucking day. Peace. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the first ever Behind the Smoke podcast recap of the Curtis Jackson podcast that we did. You're listening to The Life and Times of Corey Wagner. Next week, I will be recapping the podcast that we recorded with Chef Hannes Kaven and Chef Ivan Munoz of Carnitas Snack Shack. And we talked about a lot of cool things that they're doing right now, including Chef Hannes is working to open up a full service barbecue restaurant in East County in San Carlos, which is actually just down the street from my client, The Trails Eatery. So that'll be a nice stop, be able to visit there all the time, and can't wait to check it out. I want to remind you guys to be listening in on the Anchor app. If you don't have the app, just go to your app store, download Anchor. It's free. You know, maybe you'll be podcasting yourself. But if you listen here on Anchor, you will be able to hear the cool features that it has. And I will be playing a song from Spotify at the end of every one of my podcasts, just in case you want to stick around for some tunes. If you guys have any questions or you want to reach out to me, or if you want to send me some hate mail, find me on Twitter. I am Corey Wagner. Find us on the Barbecue War Stories podcast at Barbecue War Stories and reach out. Let me know what you thought of this episode, how I could improve, what you guys want to hear. If you want me to shut up, no problem. I'll do it. Thanks again. See you next time.